Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Monday full of stuff live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, plenty of both. Joy Taylor is joining me. Vibrant today, dynamic. Two Monday Night Football games tonight. Good week of Blazing 5. Feeling in a very robust mood today.
Two Monday Night Football games tonight.
Yeah.
A Tuesday Night Football game tomorrow.
A Thursday Night Football game. Who's on the Thursday Night game, Goulet?
It is Rams.
Rams Patriots. Wow, what a week.
Yeah. Big fight this weekend.
Wow.
Big fight news they were just talking about, which we'll get to later.
Well, let's start with this. 2020's been a heck of a year, right? And I get in discussions with my kids all the time. I said, listen, it's given us a recession. It's given us a pandemic. This has been a rough year. But yet in this rough year, many people, companies, families have actually flourished. Oh, they have. Everybody, when you don't have any speed bumps and curves in your life, it's much easier. But can you adapt to trouble? Adapt to a life that's different? I saw something yesterday that was, I'm going to lead my show with it. The Patriots beat the Chargers 45-0. It was not a good game to watch, but I'm going to lead with it. So 45-0, does the talent between the Patriots and Chargers say 45-0? No. That's like Alabama against the Sun Belt Conference team. The Kansas City Chiefs would not beat the Jets 45-0. Let's just marvel at Bill Belichick, what he has done in 2020. The best quarterback ever leaves. 8 players opt out for COVID. He loses a top assistant. They have multiple defensive starters leave for free agency. He has no stars at wide receiver or tight end. Cam Newton appears to be shot, and they have to completely change their offensive game to a power running game. Oh, wait. There's no preseason. And this morning, they're 6-6 and 2 plays away from being 8-4. If Cam doesn't get stopped at the goal line against Seattle, and it was really close, and if they don't fumble against Buffalo, they're 8-4. How in the hell is that possible? Cam Newton yesterday threw for 69 yards, and they won 45-0. Okay, if you'd have told me, so Cam Newton threw for 69 yards and the Patriots beat the Chargers, I'd be like 9-6, 17-14. No. It was 45-0. Could any other coach win games with what he's been handed with? Philadelphia lost a coordinator, a play caller, Frank Reich. They're a disaster. Atlanta lost Kyle Shanahan. They're a dumpster fire on half the Sundays. Does everybody understand what you're watching here? You can really judge somebody by what happens when things go south and how you adjust. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season in 14 years. He almost made the playoffs with a quarterback named Duck. He's had drama. He's had injuries. He's had AB. He's had Le'Veon Bell out. They've had Big Ben got hurt. 14 years. Never had a losing team in Pittsburgh. That's a coach. Sean Payton, back-to-back years, lost a Hall of Famer. Drew Brees, how'd he do? 8-0 with like 5 blowouts. What? Yeah, Taysom Hill, the Tebow guy? Yeah. He can throw now. What? I mean, now, there are a handful of coaches in this league that have completely separated. Think about this. In the last 2 years, Belichick has lost Brian Flores, who appears to be great, and Joe Judge, and I was wrong on this, wow, can that dude coach? He lost both off of staff, and they're a play from being 7-5. I mean, my eyes tell me Cam is kind of shot. But yet he has 5 touchdowns and 9 picks. He's got more wins starting this year, 6, than he has touchdown passes. They have nobody to throw to. And they won 45-0. Belichick took a guy yesterday named Gunnar Olszewski, and got him 2 touchdowns. He sounds like a 1968 hockey player with no teeth. Gunnar Olszewski, the pride of Bemidji State. Don't even know what state it's in. Marvel at it. Because I don't. You can say Anthony Lynn can't coach. He got a team to a playoff a couple years ago. 45-0 with a quarterback that threw for 69 yards. They so dominated the Chargers coaching staff, it was over 7 minutes in. I mean, that 45-0 is Bama over a Sun Belt conference team. That's not even Chiefs over the Jets backup quarterback. That game would be somewhat competitive for a quarter. I mean, it is a marvel what we're watching. And again, nothing went his way. I mean, of all the years, you'd have to completely change your offense from Tom Brady to Cam. They got it in a year in a pandemic and no preseason. Look at them now. It's incredible. All right, let's talk Baker Mayfield. Why don't we? Oh, Colin, how did you not lead with this? So I'm going to give Cleveland a pass. So Cleveland got a huge lead. But in the second half, Cleveland was outscored 28-3. I'm going to give them a complete pass on this. Why? Because Cleveland led 38-7 at half. Cleveland doesn't lead anybody 38-7. Cleveland went into halftime. They went into the locker room. And the coach is like, guys, it's 38-7. And they're all like, we lead? They didn't know what to do in the second half because they'd never been there. I'm going to give Cleveland a total. New England, Kansas City, good Steelers go in big at half. They kind of know what to do. I'm going to give Cleveland a pass. They didn't know what to do. They've never been there before. And I got to say this, biggest win in Baker Mayfield's career, that goes without saying. But I want to say this, and let's add context. When you have the number one quarterback on a rookie contract, you should be winning. Russell Wilson got to 2 Super Bowls. Goff got to 1. Mahomes got to 1. Flacco and Cam got to 1. Because when you have a rookie, a top young quarterback, you're not paying him anything for 3 to 4 years. So you can go get free agents. What did the Browns did? They went and got a right tackle, Jack Conklin, elite right tackle. They couldn't afford that if they're paying Baker 30. They want to get Jarvis Landry's expensive, Austin Hooper. So when you could, this is what the Rams did with Goff. It's what the Chiefs can do with Mahomes before the contract. It's what you can do. If you've got a quarterback, you can load up. Right now, the Browns offensive line, now this was before the game, was rated as a top 2 pass blocking line and a top 2 run blocking line. You can do that when you're not paying the quarterback anything. But the question has always been, we know Goff is mature. He's real quiet. We know Mahomes is. We know Russell is. Like, we know those guys are mature. The question is, when you have that young quarterback and he gets all that talent, he'll never have that much talent offensively the rest of his career because they're paying Baker nothing and Goff was getting paid nothing and Mahomes getting paid nothing and Russell nothing. Can you steer the ship? We know you're not experienced. We know you're young. We know you'll make mistakes. But are you mature enough and steady enough to just kind of move the luxury liner down the river? And I never thought Baker was. I mean, I picked the Browns to make the playoffs, but I never thought I'd see yesterday. That's what Goff looked like. First couple years, they'd have these games where like, man, Rams got a lot of weapons. Mahomes got a lot of weapons. Mahomes is not going to have this many weapons in 2 years. He's not. They're not going to be able to keep everybody. You can't pay your quarterback $45 million. So this was a really nice moment for Baker. We've always known the ups and downs of Baker. But these are the moments when you get that franchise quarterback and you can go big into free agency at tight end and wide receiver and right tackle and you can really spend some money on it. Is he just stable and mature enough to guide all this talent down the river? Just guide it to wins. And yesterday was the first time I watched Baker and I thought, oh, he could win a playoff game. Baker could win a playoff game. It's been rocky to get there. A lot of stuff I didn't like. First time I watched him, I thought, Baker Mayfield could win a playoff game. And I'm going to give him a pass for the second half because they've never let anybody 38-7 at half and they didn't know what the hell to do. They had no idea what to do. Do we just run it? Do we pretend like we're in a close game? But that was impressive, and Baker Mayfield talked after.
What's different about you now as opposed to a month ago, last year, whatever? Is it something looks different? What's different?
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, then I don't do that.
Good answer from the office. Now, what is the next step? And this is going to be even harder for Baker and Cleveland. Because, oh, they're feeling themselves today. Next month, you play Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and the Giants. Those defenses are good. And you can't shoot any more TV commercials. Can't go out late at night. Got to wear a mask. Got to be smart. Can't be cocky. Baker proved I can go on the road and win a big game. I can guide this ship like Goff did, Mahomes did, Russell Wilson did. But the difference, because of those three players' temperaments, that win wouldn't unravel them. Trent Dilfer has a great saying. He goes, you got to learn how to win in this league. Everybody loses the same. They're pissed, and they work really hard. He goes, not everybody wins the same in this league. Some guys win. They buy a new this. They buy a new that. They shoot a new commercial. So step two, step one's been accomplished. You can win a playoff game with Baker. Step two is let's work twice as hard for Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and the Giants, because those are way better defenses than the Titans. That's the next step. That's what Mahomes did. That's what Goff did. That's what Russell Wilson did. Oh, win. Impressive. And Baker deserves credit for that. But they went to bed early, studied twice as hard, were great the next week. Could Baker do that? We'll see. Hopeful. Not rooting against them. Don't root against good quarterback. I never root against young quarterbacks. This league is awful with bad quarterback play. I said before, I watched Baker a ton the first 2 years. When he started going downhill, I stopped watching and stopped talking about him. He wasn't as interesting. He just wasn't as good. If this is what I get from Baker, interesting, good, can win playoff games. Now let's just do it again and again and again and again, because now this is the second stage of it. You won, you shut people up, now work twice as hard this week. All right, coming up next, what to make of the Giants with a backup quarterback beating Seattle? What does it say? And we'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Starting in 2021, a new streaming company will be called Discovery Plus. Discovery Plus, new streaming service. Old shows, Food Network, HGTV will be on it, plus some exclusive originals, U.S. only, Discovery Plus. So yesterday, the Seahawks lost at home to the Giants 17-12, and the Giants were playing a backup quarterback, Colt McCoy. And on the interweb, a lot of people were saying, oh, biggest upset of the year. Oh, it's the biggest upset of the year. I mean, that is an unbelievable upset. And I'll say I would caution you to that, because one of the things I like about the NFL over college football is Sundays are crazy all the time. The Steelers, and I was around to watch it, dominated the 70s, a true dynasty. The 49ers dominated the 80s, a true dynasty. And they got upset all the time. New England, the year they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, were destroyed by Matt Patricia and the Lions in the same year. I don't think this was as big an upset as we think. The Giants have been in 8 straight close games. They've won 5 of 7. They're going to win their division and host a playoff game. And defensively, their defensive line is excellent, and Seattle's primary weakness is their offensive line. Now, it's an upset. But if you've been and I've been on this now for 2 months. When they were 1-7, I said, they remind me of Miami. And this is counterintuitive to what we think, but at the end of last year, Joy and I both said this. The Dolphins were better than New England. In the last 9 games, they were a better football team. And it's counterintuitive for a lot of you, because this team started, the Giants started 0-5. They are a better football team than many of the teams that will make the playoffs. But this is more important to me. As a talk show host, and you never see political talk show hosts do this, that's why I just don't listen to most of them. As a sports talk show host, I think it's my responsibility to admit when I am wrong. It gives me credibility, because nobody's right all the time in politics or sports. I thought Dave Gettleman, the GM of the Giants, was a goofball. I thought he was horrible in front of the microphone. I thought he was goofy. I thought he was completely out of his element. He did 3 things. I didn't like any of them. He hired Joe Judge. I'm like, what? He drafted Daniel Jones 6th, and he traded OBJ. He was right on all of them. And by the way, I did like his Leonard Williams trade from the Jets. That I liked. But to show you the power of the Giants culture, because Leonard Williams didn't suddenly get way better. Leonard Williams has more sacks this year for the Giants than he did 3 years for the Jets. That is about coaching and culture. And I got to be honest about it. I just didn't like the Daniel Jones draft. I didn't get the Joe Judge hire. There was a lot better coaches, I thought, more experienced. And the OBJ trade, I understood the criticism. But yesterday was just a great defensive team facing a Seahawks team with a bad O-line. It's now the Seahawks' primary weakness. Russell Wilson wasn't terrible, but he was sacked five times under duress. And this is a well-coached team. We spend a lot of time on this show criticizing winners that lose. Sometimes we have to give credit to losers that win. And this Giants team isn't a great team with a great record. But they won that game. They were clearly, all day, 3.5 hours, the better team. There was never a moment in that game Seattle, I felt, was a better team on that Sunday. It was like, oh, Giants, just their defensive line is controlling Seattle's offensive line. Therefore, they're controlling the football game. And I got to admit when I was wrong, the Giants are formidable. Their GM, by the way, Gettleman, I thought had a very, very good draft as well. And I said that after the draft. I'm like, this is a pretty good draft. And I don't think this is all about the upset. I really don't. I think we're going to look back at this in 6 weeks if the Giants win a playoff game and go, that wasn't that big of an upset. You know, when Miami beat New England last year at the end, woo, what an upset. This morning you're like, not much of an upset. Well, Miami's good and New England's okay. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Joy, look at this. Best winning percentage since week 6 in the NFL. Chiefs, Saints, Steelers, Dolphins, Giants. So since week 6, it's like a really good football team.
No, we've been talking about the Giants for a while now, really all season. They are the Dolphins of last year.
Yeah, they're an off-season away from a little more dynamic offensive personnel. Daniel Jones gets healthy from being like, oh, watch out for the Giants.
And think they're doing all of this in a COVID year.
Yeah.
It's very impressive. Well, congratulations to the other New York team. The tank is still on.
Oh, my God.
The Jets were so close. They were so close to messing it all up. But at the end of the day, they're the Jets. So they did it. They were on the verge of their first win of the season. They're showing the video now. Derek Carr threw, which the Raiders are a whole other conversation, because you can be excited that you got the win, but...
Yeah, yikes.
So he threw a 46-yard touchdown pass to Henry Ruggs to take the lead with only 5 seconds remaining. Curiously, on that final play, defensive coordinator Greg Williams called for a cover zero blitz that sent 8 rushers
and
at
no
the quarterback
safety.
And 3 defenders in man-to-man coverage. No safety. The only way they win this game is exactly how they won this game. So you would think you would drop a few defenders back, considering that the blitz would not really be that helpful. Well, he received a lot of criticism for that decision, and he is no longer with the Jets. He was reportedly fired this morning.
Should be.
Adam Schefter tweeted that. Yes. I mean, it does. It seems a bit reactionary, considering that imagining most of that staff will not be there next year.
But you know what? That's okay. Listen, there are moments you cross a threshold that is not tolerable.
Yeah.
And this was a threshold that was not. I'm not a big fan of firing in season, but there are thresholds. You're like, okay, you embarrassed us. You know, all I could think about, this is the way my goofy mind works. All I could think about is that went from a miserable 5-hour flight to Vegas to one of the best flights home of the year for the Raiders. One that went from 5 hours, nobody talks on the plane, to, oh my God, we played like crap, stole it, and everybody's drinking Modelo's
well, I mean,
on the
again,
way home.
I don't know if you're celebrating if you're the Raiders, because you've not looked great the past couple weeks, but yeah. I do, you know, a win is a win.
It's a win.
I thought that was a hideous win by Miami yesterday, for example. This was a hideous win from the Raiders.
Yeah.
You are just how it's a great win for Baker and the Browns. Don't get too high. Like,
yeah.
You have to come back and work just as hard next week. This was a bad day for the Jets. Well, I guess it's a good day for Jets fans.
Right.
But I'm a little conspiracy theory with this too, though.
Yeah.
A lot
of people are.
You know, you're like, they kind of called that so that they could lose, and then you fired Greg Williams.
I saw a lot of that. Like, yeah. I'm not going to go there, but it does almost smell too perfect to be true.
It does smell perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which generally means that it's not.
Right.
So the Chiefs clinched their spot in the playoffs with a 22-16 win over the Broncos last night. That was another game that didn't go the way that we all expected it to.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these, you know, again, ugly. This is the Sunday of cold weather. Some good teams have ugly games.
It's that time of year. Kansas City's offense struggled to get in the end zone, scored only 1 touchdown, but paired that with 5 field goals to get the win, so a kicking night. This will be the Chiefs' sixth straight trip to the playoffs, which is the longest streak in team history, and they can clinch their fifth straight AFC West title with a win next week over Miami. Very strange game for the Chiefs last night. Kelce got a great day. 8 receptions, 136 yards, and a touchdown. He became the first tight end in NFL history to post 5 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons.
He is the best tight end in the game. Kittle would be, but he's hurt too often. Kelce is a... He is this generation. He is Gronk, but more vertical. He's a great Hall of Fame player.
He is separated from the rest of the
league. He's really unique. He is a great all-time football player.
That was a really strange scenario with the Tyreek Hill touchdown, though.
You know, it's funny, on the sideline, he told Andy, he's like, I didn't see it. I mean, it's
but like, how could he tell? I mean, of course he thought he dropped it.
Well, and you have pads on, so it's not touching body. In football, you know, you got pads on, it's laying on your arms.
Yeah.
Somebody's laying
on
you.
No, it's not like he had it in his hands the whole time so he could know that he caught it.
Yes.
I was so weird that they just rushed to get the kickoff. I don't know. Like,
you would think somebody in the press box would scream, Andy.
But it was so quick. Like,
I know.
Even us, like, even the broadcast was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, slow down. Give it a second. Give it a beat. It would have really changed the game. But the Broncos, on the other hand, are 4-8 and currently have the 10th pick in the draft. I mean, it was an ugly game. They uglied it up for the Chiefs last night in division. But the Broncos are going to have to make some changes next year. So, Carson Wentz was benched in the second half.
Yes, he was.
For Jalen Hurts yesterday. And despite the 30-16 loss to the Packers, Hurts did provide a spark for the Eagles offense. And they made it interesting very quickly once he got out there. Now Doug Peterson will have to decide which quarterback will get the start against the Saints.
You got an interesting decision to make this week as to who your starting quarterback will be. Have you made it yet?
No.
What will go into the decision?
I'm going to look at a lot of things. You know, where we are as a team, obviously. I'm going to look and just go back and evaluate, you know, the position and just you know, when I make my mind up, I'll know. But I'm not there yet.
They did get within reach. Obviously, it's the Packers, so Aaron Jones took care of that.
Also,
nice and quickly. But
Jalen Hurts looked capable, and Jalen Reagor, the receiver, had a really nice special teams touchdown.
Yeah.
So that was like two good news. We drafted our first and second round picks. Actually, played pretty well. That I thought that was on a takeaway that nobody cares about. You have two guys that had moments.
If you look at the situation that they're in, it's really bleak because you're paying Carson Wentz so much money. And if you decide to go with Jalen Hurts next week and he plays well for the entire game, or at least capable for the entire game, after what you've seen from Carson Wentz this year, what do you do? And at this point, how do you go back to Carson Wentz? I mean, that was significant that Jalen went. It's not that Jalen went out there and, you know, blew the doors off and won the game, but he certainly looked capable, and he did provide there was an obvious difference to the offense once he was out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are certain combinations in life that are bad. Like, my car is really expensive and it's always broken down. That's bleak. My quarterback, we're tied to him for years at $35 million, and he stinks. That there's no sunlight. There, you can't see the horizon. Like, the Jets are bad, but Trevor Lawrence in April. The Jags are bad. Justin Fields. You can see the sunlight. This is total darkness.
Yeah,
an eclipse.
You can start Jalen Hurts, but if he ends up being good, then
doesn't solve your issue.
You still have all this money tied up.
$35 million backup. It's bleak.
It is.
That's a perfect word. Philadelphia is bleak. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Mark Schlereth actually did. I listened to him. He did the Giants Seahawks game. And I said this, is last year when the Dolphins beat New England, the initial reaction is, what a shocking upset. And then you wake up a few months later and you're like, not really. Miami this morning is better, and their trajectory last year, you were seeing it. And I'm like, I'm not saying the Giants beating the Seahawks with Colt McCoy is not an upset. It may not be the upset we think it is. If you watch that football game, and I did, Mark Schlereth is joining us. 3 Super Bowl rings and a 2-time Pro Bowl to Fox Sports. Listen, Seattle should have won. I get it. But I'm watching that defensive front for the Giants. I'm watching the Giants run game. And I'm like, Mark, football is about physical play, and the Giants are, you don't want to get in a phone booth with them. I think they may be the Dolphins of last year, where we're catching them on a trajectory that they may be the fourth best team in the NFC right now. Am I not? You called it. What'd you see?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Colin, because I did the Giants in week four, and they lost to the Rams 17-9.
Yeah.
And I went to my crew after the game, and I talked about it on my podcast, The Stinking Truth. I was like, the Giants are going to win this division because they are so physical up front. But I will tell you where they have gotten so much better, a couple of things. One, Jason Garrett, from a play-calling standpoint,
yeah.
you want to think about being committed to the run. There's a lot of people that say, hey, I'm committed to the run. But what do they end up doing? They end up getting away from it because they're getting 1 yard, 2 yards, 3 yards. They're not really committed to the run. They just want to develop a quarterback so they can get their next head coaching job. So Jason Garrett continues to call the run. They did nothing in that first half offensively. Guess what happened? They bludgeoned the Seahawks,
yeah.
who had the third best run defense in football in the second half. That's an offensive coordinator that adheres to what the game plan is, right? He doesn't get spooked out of the game plan. So big kudos to Jason Garrett for staying with the plan. And then two, defensively, you can talk about Patrick Graham, their defensive coordinator. You can talk about that front and Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence and all the guys up front. But let me tell you, they are the most complex, the most disguised back-end defense that I have watched all year on film. When I broke down their defensive tape, it took me twice as long to break down their defensive tape as it has any other defense in football, because the things they show the quarterback, the confusion they create, they are so tied together. They have gotten so much better over the course of this season. What I saw early in weeks 2, 3, and 4 when I studied them compared to what I saw the last 3 weeks, amazing transformation. And I know Daniel Jones didn't play, but Daniel Jones has played exceptionally well here the last 4 weeks. He has cleaned up all the issues that he had. I called it red striping guys early. He's looking off safeties. He's throwing it to the other side of the football field, understands what he's got, where he wants to go with the ball. This is a much improved football team under Joe Judge.
So, you know, it's interesting. I'm watching Kansas City and Denver last night, and memo, the Chiefs are good. I didn't take a lot from Kansas City. They don't play with a ton of urgency. I get it when you're that good. But what the story to me was, sometimes we know this, Mark, you make decisions in the NFL based on what's around you. A prime example, when Peyton Manning was in Indianapolis, the Houston Texans drafted Mario Williams, not Vince Young, not Reggie Bush. And they said, well, we have Peyton Manning in our division. We have to take the defensive end. And I look at Drew Lock, and my takeaway last night was, I got to face Mahomes twice a year, Derek Carr twice a year, and Justin Herbert. Doesn't Denver have to move off Drew Lock? Like, I don't see it. I don't get it physically. I don't get it.
Right.
They have to move off him, right?
Well, I think, one, like I just talked about with Daniel Jones, where he was in weeks 2, 3, and 4 compared to where he was going into week 13, dramatic improvement. Can Drew Lock make that type of improvement? Remember, 6 coordinators over the last 6 seasons going all the way back to college. So he takes too many chances with the football. He is very raw. He played in a real spread offense at Missouri that really hasn't prepared him to play in the NFL. There's no question that he's got some talent, that he's got some moxie about him. Time and place, you know, I'm kind of with you on the time and place aspect thing. Like, he throws his second touchdown to score 16 points, and he's running down the sideline, you know, with his hand over his ear, like, where are you, Chiefs fans?
Oh, boy.
I mean, let's relax a little bit on that, Drew, all right? I mean, come on. You guys average 18 points a game, and you're coming off a game where, oh, by the way, no quarterback played. But again, here's the deal. You know, I was listening to you earlier about assets and draft picks, right? And I came from Washington, where I cut my teeth in the National Football League under Joe Gibbs. And Joe Gibbs had a philosophy: I'd rather trade a unknown commodity for a known commodity. I want a known commodity. I want to know what a guy can do. And oh, by the way, the last time I checked, the draft's still a 50-50 crapshoot.
Yeah.
Half the guys can't play. Half the guys get into the NFL, and it's overwhelming to them. That's why on every team, there's a college free agent that didn't get drafted that's
right.
An awesome player, right?
Right?
Like, how'd you miss this guy? Well, you missed him because you don't know when you get to the next level how a guy's going to respond to playing at the top. And there's a lot of guys, you know, we talk about athleticism and stuff, but it really is from the neck up. Do you understand the game and how quickly can you process information? Those are the guys that can play.
Finally, Belichick and the Patriots. I mean, it's hard to believe. If I said Cam Newton had 69 yards passing, you'd think he lost or narrowly won, and he won 45-0. And I'm watching that Chargers game, and I'm thinking, those Charger players, they know it's not on them, right? Like, have you ever been in? You had good coaches, so this may not be relatable to you. But have you ever been in a game when you were either on a team with a superior coach or an inferior coach and you knew it was a mismatch?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I've had some situations in the middle of my career in Washington where, you know, we just weren't a very good team. You know, I mean, I'll never forget going to Dallas, I think in 94, and just surveying. I think they had Michael Irvin and Alvin Harper, and they had Mark Tuinay and Nate Newton and Mark Stepnowski and Larry Allen and Eric Williams and Jay Novacek and Moose Johnson and Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman. I'm watching them warm up before our offense came out, and I'm like, damn, we don't have one guy that could start on this team. Like, you know, we're going to get our ass kicked. And we did, you know. So, I mean, I've been there before, so I know what that feels like.
Yeah. Belichick kind of put on a coaching display yesterday, Mark Schlereth. Finally, when you look at the entire league yesterday, and I look at the Philadelphia situation, and Joy and I were talking about this, there are solvable problems around this league, or you can see light at the end of the tunnel. Jets can get Trevor Lawrence, Jags get Justin Fields. But if Jalen Hurts can play, you still pay $35 million for a backup. Is there a solution in Philadelphia to you?
Well, I mean, I think you need to go through some quarterback rehab. And what I mean by that is you haven't protected Carson Wentz all year. You know, he's ended seasons in 2017 that he was having an MVP type of season. I believe it was 2017 with the ACL, and he's been hurt several different times. And you don't protect him. When you watch him play, his feet are all over the place. He never gets, even when he has time, he doesn't ever set his feet properly. So his mechanics are completely broken down, off target on a consistent basis. And I will tell you, it starts with protection, and then it comes down to him. The other thing that happens with teams is they are not threatened by this receiving core whatsoever. So when you watch the Philadelphia Eagles, like even when they're in a zone, those guys are playing flat foot reads. They're reading that quarterback through, you know, they're reading the receiver through or the quarterback through the receiver. They're not afraid of getting beat over the top. So it's super tight window stuff. Nobody's threatened by this offense. And Carson Wentz is a mess back there. So it starts with protection and rehabbing Carson Wentz, because you're right about they don't have a lot of options paying him $35 million a year.
Good stuff. Mark Schlereth, good talking to you, bud, from his home in Denver. Thanks, man.
You got it, buddy.
He called the Giants and the Seahawks game. It is, you know, I mean, I like college football, but, you know, 45-0 in an NFL game when I have Joey Bosa and I've got really good secondary and I've got Justin Herbert and I've got a tremendous wide receiving tight end core, that is just an eye-opener. That's just like, wow.
And it's a disaster.
It is a disaster. Like you, and again, it's like I don't want people to be fired. But for Anthony Lynn, that you can't bring that back because you lose the locker room. It's just like Greg Williams got fired, as Joy reported. You can't bring him back now. Like, I don't believe in firing during the season. Like, this idea that fire Harbaugh or James Franklin, settle down. These are winning coaches. I have this whole theory on COVID, is that outside of, like, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, they are so formidable structurally and right. So loaded, they can over that. Same with Amazon or Apple or these companies. They're just so, they have such a market lead that they can overcome COVID. But if your company's 3 years old and you have a pandemic and you shut the doors, it's like restaurants in LA. The ones that have been around for 20 years, most of them will survive being shut down. But if you're in your third year and you really are just starting to make money and the government shuts you down, it's over. And so there are, I am giving a lot of passes for COVID. Nope, I'm giving a lot of passes, but I know Anthony Lynn yesterday and Greg Williams, there are thresholds that you will lose the players in the locker room if you don't make a move eventually. Jets made it today. Chargers probably make it in a couple of weeks. Thoughts on that, plus the Chiefs again. We have a big Monday night game tonight. San Francisco, Buffalo. Buffalo's rolling. San Francisco isn't, but I like the Niners. Plus Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, top of next hour.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
It is a Monday and we are busy today. It is great to have you in. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, top of next hour. I want to thank Mark Schlereth for stopping in. He did a great job on the Giants and the Seahawks yesterday. Good for the Giants, really playing well. And, you know, I was watching Kansas City last night. We forget this. You know, football teams are just made up, obviously, of just dudes. And human beings, we all are prone to good days, bad days, big emotion, being depressed. And everybody wants me, hey, Colin, you've been banging on the Steelers all year because they're undefeated but play down to their competition. There's a difference. There are things the Steelers can't do, consistently run the ball. Kansas City's different. They can do everything. They just don't do it all the time. And that's a hard place to be in for an NFL team that's running away with a division. Is that when I watch Kansas City play, my only question with them is, will they get bored? I mean, when New England was doing this dynasty outside of the Randy Moss years, it was a lot of close wins. It was all close Super Bowls. They weren't blowing people out all the time. Kansas City's the Warriors with Durant. First year, they just smoke people. By year two and year three, it's harder to get up. I remember Jordan in his heyday winning titles and losing to expansion Toronto. It is hard, not only when you're great, but when you're so gifted and things come so easy for you, it is different. The Steelers are winning. It's not easy. They can't run the football. They've had two major injuries to their linebacking core. They have a bunch of young wide receivers, and those relationships are growing. So Pittsburgh's winning, and they've earned it, but it hasn't been easy. There are things they can't do. And the thing they do great, which is, you know, that front seven, now they have two major injuries they've got to overcome. Kansas City's different. I mean, when they lose a game now, we are shocked. By the way, when New England lost games in the dynasty, we weren't shocked. But when the Warriors lost a playoff game with Durant, we were like, whoa, that's where we are with Kansas City. So that's why I see them differently than Pittsburgh. When you can, there's nothing they can't do. It is just a matter of can they create in-house, and this is what Andy Reid's going to have to do. Urgency. This thing matters. You watched that thing last night. They were you never once in that game felt Kansas City was threatened. Nobody did. And that's either today. Either did the Chiefs. They didn't feel threatened. They were in a game, but this was, you walk into an octagon, and Conor McGregor, for most of his fights, knows he's a better fighter. He's got to get the right angle. He just got to get the angle on it. Kansas City was just kind of playing for the angle, the knockout punt. I mean, they had a Tyreek Hill touchdown that didn't count, another one taken away. This thing could have been over much earlier. You know, we were talking about Philadelphia. I want to shift to the Philadelphia's got a real dilemma. So everybody's like, Jalen Hurts played well. Okay, if he's the solution, it doesn't solve the problem. You do not want a $35 million backup. There are certain combinations in life that are just bad. If you're a director of a movie, and when it's all done, you go to the studio and go, yeah, it's long and boring. You're done. If it's boring, make it quick. If it's a little stodgy, a little clunky, make it quick. When you have an expensive quarterback and he's currently lousy, you are done in this league. You're done. That is like, I've got a car, it cost me a fortune, and it's always breaking down. How do you get out of it? You got a car payment. You still got to get to work tomorrow. Like, I don't see the few. I look at bad teams in this league. I look at Cincinnati right now, and I think, God, Joe Burrow comes back. They'll go heavy on offensive line personnel. They're great. They'll be fine. Jets, Jags, I can see the sunlight. Man, we said earlier, this is bleak. There is no solution. I look at Philadelphia, and if Jalen Hurts, Kirk Cousins, you may have thought he was overpaid. We all did. But he was never terrible. He had a ceiling. He wasn't terrible. Jimmy Garoppolo, who I like more than you, we felt for about 2 years, not anymore with the contract, but for 2 years, we're like, ooh, that's a lot for Jimmy Garoppolo. But it wasn't terrible. Wentz is expensive and terrible, and there's no way out. I mean, this league is predicated on two things. It really is. Your quarterback's talent, and how expensive is he? And if he's super talented, you can have a little less talent around him. And if he's not expensive at all, Baker, Goff, and his rookie contract, then you get a lot of talent around him. When his talent now is debatable and he costs you a fortune, somebody made a movie, maybe Kevin Costner was in it. No way out. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer for Philadelphia. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong next.